Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome to the new GTLD Subsequent Procedures Subteam Track 5, Geographic Names at Top Level Call, taking place on the 4th of April, 2018. In the interest of time, there'll be no roll calls. We have quite a few participants. Attendance will be taken by the WebEx room. If you are only on the audio bridge, could you please let yourselves be known now?
This is Darcy Karen Southwell. I'm only on the bridge.
Thank you, Darcy.
This is Luke Cavadero, on the bridge.
Thank you, noted.
Carlos Gutierrez, only on the bridge.
Thank you, noted. Hearing no further names, I would like to remind all to please, oh, go ahead.
Sorry, I was on mute. Jim Prendergast, also on the bridge only. Thanks.
No problem at all, Jim. Thank you. I would like to remind all to please state your name before speaking for recording and transcription purpose, and to please keep your phones and microphones on mute when not speaking to avoid any background noise. With this, I'll turn it back over to our co-leader, Martin Sutton. Please begin.
Thank you, Terry, and welcome, everybody. I know we've had a few little teething problems with trying to get used to WebEx, and I appreciate the time Terry has spent guiding us all on the leadership as well as those attending on how to use this this new facility. Those that did join early will probably have caught on to some of those conversation pieces and a quick guide around the WebEx system. Let me just point out a couple of things, though, just so in case you think I'm ignoring anybody. The hand up signal is not visible to me, so we will just need to be prompted as we go through the process of discussions as to who's raised their hands. But do not let that prevent you from stepping forward and commenting during the course of our discussions today. Thanks again for getting us ready and prepared for using the WebEx tool. First of all, for the normal matter and checks of any interesting changes that may have happened over the last month, perhaps, that you have updated your statement of interest, give you the opportunity to inform the rest of the group at this time. So if anybody has anything to advise the group, please come forward now. I'm not seeing any hands raised, but if there are any, please let me know. Or if there are none, please let me know. Okay, I'm not hearing anything. For today's agenda that was circulated yesterday, we will be going through an update from ICANN 61 and where we believe we are at this stage. We will then move on to continuing the process of going through the review of existing geographic terms as defined in the applicant guidebook. So that will be the core part of today's meeting. But first of all, we'll proceed to the update from ICANN 61, if we could move the slides on. Well, before we do, actually, does anybody have any items that they would wish to add to the agenda before we go further? Thank you. If we move on to the next slide then. So we did send out a brief update after the ICANN 61 meeting, which you would have received a couple of days ago. So apologies for the lateness of that coming through prior to this meeting, but hopefully that provided those that were not in attendance an idea of some of the discussions that were held and also the opportunity to refer to the recordings and feedback from those sessions that were held in ICANN 61. During the WorkTrack 5 session that we held there, I know it did conflict with some other sessions, and I think it was even an extra GDPR session that was added into the agenda that coincided with our meeting. Nevertheless, we still had good attendance and some good discussions going through the work topics. We did manage to provide a brief summary of progress to the community, and we also presented the timeline to the group so that we could understand how this would fit into the overall PDP working group. So that was the main parts of the sessions that were held in ICANN 61. I'll go into a little bit more detail on that shortly in terms of timeline. As I mentioned earlier, if you've had the chance to, if you didn't have the opportunity to attend that meeting either remotely or in person, there are the links to the recordings, and I'd encourage you to take a look and have a listen to what went on, and to bring you up to speed. There were some practical issues raised, things like the format of the working document that we've got contained in the spreadsheet. And so in the note that went out, we would welcome any offers of ideas to make it easier and simpler, whilst also being
Martin?
Able to... Hello?
Hi, Martin. Sorry to interrupt. This is Emily from staff. It looks like you've got a hand up from Caboose when you have a moment to pause.
Thank you very much. Okay. Well, let me stop there then. Caboose, please go ahead.
Caboose, this is Terry. We're unable to hear you, and I don't see where you're muted.
Okay, let me carry on, and when we get Caboose connected again, we can refer back to his question.
Unmute. Comment.
Okay.
Mike.
Okay, we've got some background conversation occurring, so if you're not speaking, please put yourself on mute. If we could go to the next slide, please. So one of the things that did gather quite a lot of conversation during the course of the ICANN 61 meetings was references to timelines, the overall PDP working group timeline, but also the work track 5, which is obviously lagging somewhat behind the overall PDP working group. So what was presented is the initial work plan. So if we're hearing lots of coughing in the background here, if you are not talking, could you please go on mute?
Сейчас, прямо сейчас, да. Понятно, зареагирует на это. Окей, хорошо. Все, сейчас перезваниваю.
We've got a background conversation going. Could you please put your phone on mute, please? Thank you. So the timeline that we're working towards guides us into creating an initial report in July this year. Let me just talk that through. So we've got, during the course of March, we had continued discussions on the treatment of terms in the 2012 guidebook, something which we'll be continuing today. And by May, if not sooner, we'll be talking about treatment of other terms that were not included within the applicant guidebook and consider those. All of this work that we're going through is being documented so that we can start to prepare an initial draft report during the course of June and then publish that in July. The creation of the initial report, if I could just remind everybody, this is a standard point in terms of the GNSO operating procedures and is a point at which community input can be gathered and requested. So do not please consider this as an end point. This is part of the process, and we're a long way off an end point with regards to work track 5, but this is a meaningful checkpoint that we have set into the operating procedures for GNSO policy that enables us to go out to the community, provide information towards what the group may be considering as recommendations or options that they would like to gather feedback from the community. And that then is fed back into the process so that we can review the comments back from all parts of the community and continue our work on the basis that we have managed to obtain further valuable information to instruct us towards a final report. All going well, if we can coincide the final report with that of the broader GNSO PDP, then we would hope that occurs by the end of this year. But our initial focus is to reach this initial report stage in July. Okay, so I just wanted to make that clear. Before we go any further, does anybody have any comments or questions? And Cavus, if you are able to talk yet, I'll happy to take your comment or question from earlier.
Do you hear me?
Yes, Cavus, thank you.
Yes, I'm sorry, Silla, I'm a beginner. I'm not very well acquainted with these things. I'm sorry, I was a little bit behind what you have said. Was there any suggestion for the presentation on the spreadsheet? Because it is not very convenient, nor friendly use or user friendly. Have you received any suggestion to improve that? I don't have any myself, but I'm asking a question. Thank you.
Thank you, Cavus. I don't believe I've seen anything come back with reference to the actual document. So do please, if there is any ideas to simplify and make it easier for users, we'll happily consider those. At this stage, it is a catch-all, I suppose, of work being undertaken and trying to put the comments and information that we gather into one place. But we look forward to any suggestions. Thanks, Cavus. Okay. So, thanks, Annabeth. Annabeth has just written in the chat there that we could also look at converting this to a Word document so that that might be easier in terms of printing out the document and formatting it more easily. So that's one option that we can have a look at. Okay. Okay, thank you. Any questions or comments on the work plan schedule?
Martin, this is Carrie from staff. I do apologize for interrupting. I did receive a report from one member who was just having difficulties hearing you. Are you able to speak just a little bit louder for that member?
Yeah. Does that help?
For me, yes.
Okay. I'm right next to the microphone now, so let's see how that goes. Right. So if we can move on to the next slide. So in the summary note that was issued earlier to the working work track members, we wanted to summarize where we felt the conversations had been heading up to and including ICANN 61 for the terms, geographic terms that we had covered, which were these three, the 2-character country codes, 3-character country codes, and the long and short form country and territory names. So what we want to put to you today is, drawing on those conversations, is a proposal for everybody's consideration in terms of these specific terms before we move on to consider the others in the list. For the 2-character country codes, we feel that there is a strong support for maintaining what we consider a status quo, whereby all two-letter ASCII combinations would be reserved for existing and potential future country codes. Does that mean I've been
And we're trying to find the line quickly.
Okay, so I'm still here, am I?
You certainly are.
Okay, thank you. Okay, so the first one was the two-character country codes, as I say, and maintaining the current situation for the two-letter combinations. The second one is with regards
Martin,
to...
Martin, could I just step in a little a moment? It's Annabeth here.
You may. Yep, please do.
Thank you. For the two-character country codes, just to be quite specific, the status quo is reserving all two-character ASCII combinations, not two-letter. So it's a little change from what we had in as a status quo. So I think that is worth saying something about it, since it has been raised both in the comments and about someone suggesting that one letter, one digit should be moved over to work track 2, since they were not being geographical terms. But others had suggested that even if we have two ASCII signs or characters, it could be confusing compared with the two-letter and ASCII CCTLV. So I think it's worth mentioning, since a lot of people have commented on it. Thank you.
Thanks, Annabeth. So we probably need to include that as a separate item, whereby we considered that the letter number combination was not a geographic term, and hence that would be taken over by Work Track 2, I believe, for their review and consideration. And what we were saying here is that the actual two-character country codes, which would be a two-letter combination for existing and future country codes, would be reserved.
Can I make?
Okay.
So can I ask one question? I'm sorry.
You're very, very quiet on the line. If you could speak up, please.
Okay. I have heard that the possibility of making a combination of letters and digits for country codes, but I don't think the existing label generation rules for the root zone allows that. We have, I mean, there's a restriction that only letters are allowed.
So it's a very good point, and but the whole discussion really centered on the point that as a letter number combination would not be referring to a geographic term, that would be outside of the scope of this work track, and hence it would be reviewed and considered by Work Track 2. And they would obviously consider any of the restrictions that may apply more on a technical basis than a geographic reference. Does that make sense?
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Okay. So I don't think I've got no notification of hand, so I'll move on then to three-character country codes. Again, this was to maintain the status quo whereby the existing list of ISO 3166 three-character country codes would not be available. So the discussions relating to this, and I'll tie this again with the long and short form, we'll cover these in both same time here because the output is the same essentially, which is to not make these available. The reason behind that was that it was considered that it is a limited number of strings that we're talking about here, and also the consideration of whether it should be under the terms of a GTLD, which is covered by GNSO, a CCTLD, which would be the CCNSO, or something completely different. So those discussions were had and raised during ICANN 61 session. So in terms of where it says status quo, it would be a matter of saying, for now, these would be unavailable, but that could quite be easily taken up by another route of discussions broader than GNSO as to how they would be allocated, treated in the future. Okay. So that,
Martin, Carlos Gutierrez, please, Martin.
Yeah, please go ahead.
Yes, Martin, when I read the documents, and I'm sorry, I'm only on the bridge, I was surprised to see that it was written consensus. But now that you rephrase it this way, I feel much better. I don't want to go into my comments. I just want to mention that the CWG of the CCNSO and the GNSO could not agree on any consensus position over 2 years, and that I think it's worthwhile discussing apart from my comments. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Okay.
Martin, this is Emily from staff. We also have a hand up from Alexander Schubert and one from Cavus, although I'm not sure if that one's an old hand. Thanks.
Okay. So, Alexander?
Yes, hello. This is Alexander. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great. So when we defined the scope of this working track 5, we explicitly included those names, and I haven't seen really much discussion about how they could be applied for or not. And now to go the same route like the cross constituency working group and say, oh, we don't find an easy solution, so we cannot make a recommendation, and we hand it over to the next group. That is work track 5. And now the work track 5, without even really discussing it, does the same. Oh, we don't find an easy solution, so we hand it over to some group somewhere in the future. Maybe we first start to discuss it, because I haven't seen any discussion or real policy recommendations how to apply for either a three-character country code or a country name.
Thanks, Alexander. If I may reply as best as possible to that before we move on, is there were some discussions during the ICANN 61, plus also the points raised when we were analysing the pros and cons for the existing treatment in the applicant guidebook, whereby there was a restrictive nature on these, which meant that nobody could apply for them. So does everybody want to, you know, just limit it to that point where, okay, we'll never know how these could have been used in whichever way possible. So it was annotated there that there were still some concerns with nobody being able to actually apply for these. The conversation moved on at ICANN 61, whereby it was thought from a few of the commentators that this should sit outside of GTLD land, so outside of GNSO. And within our terms of reference, if I can go back to that particular point, that's where we find difficulties in routing anything further, because what we did say was that we would not be looking at a scope that stepped us outside of the GNSO. And that's another sort of reasoning for the output from ICANN 61 for these particular geographic terms. Happy to, you know, have any other conversations that people want to input to on this. Okay. So, Cavus, I understand you had your hand up.
Yes, I have my hand up for one question, and now after Alexander, I have a comment to make. Now,
for my question. In both cases, in bullet 2 and bullet 3, there is a qualifier mentioned that not qualified condition, saying that defer for broader discussion or defer broader questions. What we mean by defer broader question? That means we don't address this issue yet. What do we mean by that? This is one. And the question raised by Alexandra, I do understand there is no procedure how to apply for the three character. What procedure and what apply? And what he said that I agreed that we should not ping-pong issues between two groups. Either we should reply that or we should put it aside and come back to that. But passing from one to the other is not a very efficient way. So this is my comments. The first one is what we mean by defer broader questions. Thank you.
Thanks, Kavus. So if I just reference back to my points regarding the conversations at ICANN 61, these related to points raised through members from within the GAC and potentially others, but I think it was mainly from within the GAC, that there was a concern if there was any attempt to release these whereby they were tied to a GTLB / ICANN related contract. So the point here is, in view of the limited number of strings that are referred to within these lists, particularly the three characters, that it was considered appropriate and relevant on these discussions to keep the these particular strings as unavailable for the time being, and to defer the broader questions because they are outside of scope for work track 5, based on the fact that it wanted to, that there were requests to take this outside of a GNSO scope. I hope I'm making myself understood, but if there's anybody else that has points.
Yes, I understand you quite well. Yes, I understand. I'm satisfied. I have no more questions. Thank you.
Okay, thanks, Kavus. Okay, so what we would like to do then is, by putting forward these proposals, and perhaps perhaps with the leadership team, we'll articulate the rationale in more substantive writing based on the conversations that we've had today as well, is to circulate that for members to review, and we will revisit this at our next meeting in the hope that we can actually come to a way forward for these three particular items so far. And as we progress, we can then add these into the initial report as to what our findings are, or potential recommendations may be heading in a particular way, just to signal that, or if we want to ask any particular questions out to the community, we can add those into the initial report. So that will be the next step. So appreciate the questions and comments at this stage. Do please consider these as we go into our next meeting, so that we can make sure that at that stage we come to an acceptable way forward on those particular terms.
Okay, Martin, this is Emily from Beth. Sorry to interrupt. You have okay. Annabeth with her hand up. Thanks.
And Beth, please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Ms. Annabeth speaking. I just wanted to fill out a little of what you have been saying now, and I think that it's important. What we heard in San Juan was that even if some countries wanted the three-letter codes especially, they did not want it as a GTLD. And since it cannot be a CCTLD, it's not a CCTLD, and the only thing that WorkTrack 5 has in its scope, as far as I can see, is to decide whether a name is a GTLD or not, or available for the GTLD new round or not. And then the only solution then, as far as we can see now, is that we either we give follow up the system which we had in the last round for capitals with support and non-objection, but then it will still be a GTLD. And as we understood it, it was not satisfactory for a lot of the participants in the meeting to have it that way. That's why we tried to formulate it the way in the text here, as we did. But it could be written in a better way, perhaps, to try really to get forward what we understood from the meeting. But we would be interested in getting comments after this meeting. Thank you.
Thank you, Anne Beth. And I noticed there's a number of comments that we'll capture from the chat as well. So I appreciate you putting those in. We will be, I know we're on a new system, et cetera, with WebEx, but we'll still be able to capture the chat and send that out to members after the meeting. So what I'll do now then is if we proceed to the next part of the agenda, which is starting to, or hopefully moving some way through the remainder of the 2012 AGB terms that we've got. If we could move one slide on, and we'll get into the details. Okay, what we've done so far then is look at the treatment of items 1, 2, and 3 on the list here that we can see in front of us. All of these in this particular list, from 1 to 7, are all ones in the existing guidebook that are unavailable. They weren't, you could not apply for them in the last round. We've already covered 1 to 3 in our earlier discussions, and we'll continue that through to the next call in terms of a way forward. But for 4, 5, 6, and 7, we might want to see if that carries forward so that we don't have to do them individually. These also refer to specific lists. So 4 is the short or long form name associated with, that's been designated as exceptionally reserved. There is also a separable country name list that's been devised that is referred to under item 5. The last 2 may be slightly different, where they're referencing permutations, and we did have some very good discussions on that point previously, so we'll come back to that. But I'm hoping that we might be able to go through these last 4 in one go. So if we can move to the next slide, I think we've just got to focus on right, on these 4. So this just makes it easy to read for those that are tuned in on WebEx. So if we carry forward the same assumptions that we've made with the other 3 cases, I'd be interested to hear from members as to whether the same could apply to the remaining 4 that refer to unavailable strings. So these are all reserved currently in the applicant guidebook. Or if not, which ones you think might need to deviate from that similar treatment? So I do open that out to you. Wow, that was painful. Okay.
Martin, this is Emily from staff. You have 2 hands up, Annabeth and Cavus. I'm not sure if those are old hands. And for folks who do have their hands up after they speak, you can click that same button that you use to raise your hand to lower it again, and that way we'll know if it's an old hand. So that's Cavus and Annabeth who currently have hands up. Thanks.
Thank you. And it's all a bit of a learning exercise, this. So, Cavus, did you have a comment or a question?
Yes, I just have a comment that I had this question for many years. When we're talking, it is the name of a country, we are talking of English. but not the other languages? Are we talking always of English, Holland, and Netherlands, and so on and so forth? Or what language we are dealing with the, all these things? We're talking in name of the country or so on. We referring that name in English language? Thank you.
Let's have a quick check. There are some language aspects included in the term. So if you look at, for instance, 2 and 3, it was or a translation of in any language. So items 2 and 3 were the same there. They're separate. I'm not sure if we've got the full text in front of us for the to confirm the rest of that. Perhaps we could, if somebody could just check on the full text of the guidebook as to which ones, which items have a translation.
Hi, Martin, this is Emily. Yap just put his hand up, and I'm wondering if he may want to speak to that as well. Thanks.
Okay.
Yes, this is Jaap speaking, if I may.
Yep.
As a reaction on Cafu's remark, I want to say that the ISO 3166 names I mentioned, apart from that 3166 is not authoritative for the names, it is also comes in two forms, the names. It comes into an English translation or a French translation of the name. So that's the language being used. And actually, a lot of times, there are not really translations, but are transliterations. So they are actually, it might be converted to transliteration. So that's at least for 3166. For other lists, I wouldn't know at all.
Thank you.
Martin, is Annabeth here?
Annabeth, please go ahead.
Yep. As we had in 2012, it was only for the three first that we had written anything about the language, and then it was in any language. As for the permutations and all these other things, language is not mentioned at all. But what has been discussed during the time has been the impossibility of having all languages. So it's been always also been discussed the UN languages and the language of the country. So as for languages, that is a possibility as well. Could I give another comment as well as for the other things on the list? There's been quite a few good comments on the spreadsheet about what to do with these, and we should go back to them and try to find out how to better. If we keep it the way it is, the language is quite difficult, and it's difficult to understand. And also, when we're talking about permutation, it's been mentioned that we should, and transposition should not apply to three letter codes. It's difficult. Thank you.
Thank you, Annabeth. So, a point noted on. So, this, the permutation is the third in the list on the screen here. It is strangely written here because it kind of indicates in the last sentence that the transposition is only considered for the long and short form names, but does not apply to three letter codes, but it doesn't sort of specify the permutation. Okay, so that I think is something that perhaps we want to just open up still, because I think this particular area caused a lot of conversations last time as to how confusing it was and perhaps whether or not this was required, and whether or not it needed to have the permutations and transpositions actually reserved and unavailable, or whether there was potentially other mechanisms, including the objection process, that would be better equipped to deal with this aspect. So so we did note on the, if you refer to the spreadsheet, there were a number of conversations here on the permutations and transpositions as to whether how relevant that should be as a reserved status for TLDs.
And Martin, this is Emily from staff. You have Desleen Yehua with a hand up, and Caboose's hand is still up as well. Thanks.
Sorry, who was the first?
You have Desleen Yehua. Oh, and now also Raul Gossain. Oh, and Raul's hand is up, down, up again. So Raul and Desleen and Caboose's hand remains up. Thanks.
Okay, Emily, I think I got that. So in that order, if you remember, please start.
Okay. I would like to forward one comment here with respect to the treatment of country and territory names. I think I see here the underlying assumption is the use of ASCII letters for writing country or territory names. Is that possible to extend beyond that, like the use of Unicode for writing country and territory names? Thank you.
Okay, thank you. So what we're looking at here is anything that is specified in the current guidebook. So if we feel that there is that those other terms that you wish to be considered are not captured in the existing terms, then please do feel free to add that to the second table that we have operating underneath the main spreadsheet, which is about everything else that's not contained within the applicant guidebook, and we can then consider those. So where there might be some shortcomings on translations of particular terms, that if it's not captured in the specific item on the current applicant guidebook, we can list that to review after this process. Who was next? Is it Caboose or Raul? Raul?
Yes, that's Raul. Okay. So this is okay. Regarding the last point in which it says it is the name by which a country is commonly known as demonstrated by evidence that the country is recognized by that name. Now, I think over-reliance on intergovernmental or treaty organization would possibly not be in order. And as long as the country can demonstrate by substantial evidence that the country is recognized by that name, I think it should suffice. So that's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you. And Caboose? Okay. I'm not hearing Caboose.
And yeah, it is an old hand. I cannot down it. It is old hand, yeah.
Okay, thank you, Caboose. Okay, if I could go back then, because it seems that we've got possibly some other conversations on permutations and the last point on commonly known terms for countries. If I can refer to the first two, which are specific to lists, exceptional reserved list by the ISO 3166, and a list which is a separable component of a country name. Now that is all contained within the applicant guidebook, so it's not easy to display it on here, but I'm sure most of us have printed off reams of paper of the applicant guidebook, and at the end of section two you'll see the separable country names list as it was prepared at that stage for the last round of applications. So please refer to that if you need to be reminded. It's not a huge list. It's a list of three pages here. So So perhaps if we could look at those where there are defined lists, and it was included in the 2012 round as reserved, does anybody feel that we should treat these differently to the first three items that we spoke of earlier, the two-character, three-character, and short, long names? I'd be interested to hear.
Hello, can you hear me?
Hello, yes. Who is this?
This is Christopher Wilkinson.
Christopher,
Emily,
please go ahead.
I've just spent an hour trying to get onto this call. The WebEx is really not functioning properly. Martin, please summarize where you think you're at, because I don't know which strings you're referring to.
Of course, Christopher, and we did apologize earlier for the confusion with the WebEx. There were emails issued in advance just to advise that the link had changed. So we're all coming to terms with the new functionality and treatment of WebEx.
From my point of view, this call is a blank. I've already indicated to the Secretariat that I maintain formally all the points that I've made in San Juan and in recent emails. This has got to be sorted out if we're going to continue to work with conference calls. But
we will have the recordings available, Christopher, afterwards, and we do understand that. We did manage to ensure that over 70 people could tune into this on time today. So we will obviously have that available for everybody to review post-call. In summary, we have outlined the activities that we had at ICANN 61, the output that was summarized and circulated to the members prior to this meeting, and also I think I've responded to some of the correspondence that was exchanged over the last couple of days. Where we are now is we're looking at future treatment of the remaining country and territory names where the AGB treated them as reserved completely, so there was no application possible for these terms. We've gone through the first three as proposals for the way forward, which were articulated in the emails that were sent out previously. And now we're going through the terms. If you're into the WebEx screen now, they should be in front of you.
No, I'm on the bridge. I can't get into the WebEx screen at all.
Okay. So what we're looking at, Christopher,
on those other terms, I think we could have resolved this months ago, but I don't see why the whole of 3166 should not be available to the public authorities in the countries concerned and who can delegate TLDs to the registries of their choice. There's no reason to reserve absolutely any part of 3166, provided that it is only available for qualified applicants.
Okay, Christopher, we did receive your comments, so that's obviously fed into the process, but there are other opinions as well that we've heard of and also considered. So that I think has also been included in a reply that was circulated on the list.
No.
So we're proceeding, the working track is proceeding to go through these particular items for future treatment. So feel free to join in and add to those conversations as we proceed. But at this stage, we're talking about two particular items, which is the short or long form name association with a code that has been designated as exceptionally reserved by the ISO 3166. For instance, .eu, or it is a separable component of a country name designated in the separable country names list, which was appended to Section 2 of the applicant guidebook. And what we're asking is to the members, could these be treated in the same way that we have referenced or proposed for the two-character, three-character, and the three-character and long and short form names, which were maintain the status quo, which is not make them available. And because these discussions start to go outside of a GNSO environment, those broader questions as to who could apply and what priorities would be given would need to be taken outside of the work track 5 and existing PDP. So if anybody has, I've got some hand raised here.
So that line of argument, the work track 5 was taken outside of the GNSO traditional framework.
Christopher, I've already answered that. If I've got a queue already, can I just put you at the end of the queue, and then we'll just check, because I've got.
I can't see the queue.
Rahul, Alexander, are they old hands?
Martin, this is Emily.
Dr. Rahul, for the record. So can I go ahead?
Please do.
Yes. So another thing which I noticed is it is a name by which a country is commonly known. Now, in front of this, we should, I suppose, add in any language, because in order to take care of the names of a country by which it is commonly known in any language.
Okay.
So is that point taken?
That point is taken if it isn't explicit in the current guidebook, so that we can put that into what
yes.
we need to consider outside of the existing terms. So that could be parked onto to the other page. But if I could just remind everybody, where we're going back to is the first two items on this list, which are both maintained on explicit lists that are an easy reference and predictable way to designate any reservations. So the question out to the members is, should we follow the similar treatment that we've discussed for the three character codes and the long and short names, and apply that to these first two in the list? So, sorry, do we have others in the list, please? Because I didn't capture the list of names.
Hi, Martin. This is Emily. I don't believe there's anyone else currently in the queue.
Okay, Christopher, please go ahead then.
I think I'll pass on this. I'll read the. I'll respond in email to the. To the request for comments.
So, does anybody else have any comments or feedback on treatment of the first two in this list?
And Martin, this is Emily from staff. You have Annabeth and Alan in the queue.
And Beth, please go ahead. And Beth, we can't hear you. Okay, we go to Alan, and hopefully we'll fix the communications.
Thank you. I hope you can hear me.
Yes, we can. That is
good. This is sort of a red herring, but I'm just looking at the phrasing, these country names in any language. How do we manage that, given that there are a very large number of languages and it cannot be a definitive list?
Good point.
Well, this is Christopher.
Go ahead, Christopher.
This is not an unfamiliar problem. I would start with the with any official language in the country or geography concerned by the relevant string, and depending on the requests for expanding that, you can go to all the United Nations languages. I think I would agree with Alan's implicit comments that it is not reasonable to ask for all strings to be treated equally in all global languages. I would even doubt that our previous, I think, Indian commentator was actually seeking that. In India, it would be quite a lot to cover all official languages in that country, and that I think would be sufficient mutatis mutandis worldwide.
Thanks, Christopher. Is there anybody else in the queue?
Yep, you have Javier in the queue.
Okay, please go ahead, Javier. You may be on mute.
Javier, hello. There you go.
Yes, can you hear me?
We can, yep.
This is Javier for the record. Earlier in the chat on this issue of any language, I said something regarding, you know, the list of UN languages as a good list, but I think Olga replied this might be too short, too little, I mean, too few. So I mean, I wonder if there's any listing out there that's better than the UN list of languages. If anybody care to comment, I mean, I think Christopher's suggestion is a good place to start on that. Thank you.
Okay. So, well, what I would suggest that we look at there is where the guidebook is not explicit in terms of which languages or translations, whether there should be or shouldn't be, I think we should take that over to the list of what isn't in the guidebook. Here we have got an item which says in any language, so I think we should mark that down as a to-do, as to check how that could actually be implemented if we want to proceed on the basis that this is reserved. If we're saying that these are reserved, then it would be ideal to have a definitive list. is what we're kind of saying here for the different languages. And recommendations to that effect would be, you know, what languages, to what extent, and where could we actually obtain that list if it actually exists. Hello, did somebody want to speak? Okay.
Martin, this is Terry from staff. I actually was able to unmute and Beth. So, Ann Beth, I don't know if you want to try to speak at this time.
Hello? No, actually not. I just saw that something happened with my microphone, so I just tested if you could hear me. But now you can. Okay?
You can, yeah.
Yeah, good. No comments.
I just wanted to make a small comment on that point regarding the definitive list and the exhaustiveness of the languages and the over-reliance on UN languages. So I personally would be putting my vote with all languages. And by its definition, no list can aspire to be absolutely definitive. And that is a point I think Christopher also made in one of his previous emails, that over-reliance on the ISO 3166 list would perhaps not be in order.
So in the absence of a 3166 list, what other suggestions would you have instead of, so that there is a definitive list to refer to?
For starters, either we do start towards developing an exhaustive repository, or, I mean, all this discussion around the ISO 3166 list would perhaps risk us at leaving out some names which would be viewed as sensitive and which should ideally be in the reserved category, exposed to getting released. So that is the concern I wanted to flag. Thank you.
Okay.
Does anybody have any other comments or concerns regarding 3166 lists?
Yes, I have. This is Alexander. When we talk about all languages, I just did a quick Google search, how many languages are there, and it seems it's about 7,000 languages. And let's say we have about 200 countries and territories, there's roughly, it could be up to 140,000 terms. Okay, in many languages, of course, the country has more or less the same name, but this could be tens of thousands of strings that we are going to block here without even having an overview how this looks. So maybe before we are potentially blocking tens of thousands of strings, we compile, or somebody compiled a rough list how this could look like.
Background noise, somebody's...
Martin, this is Christopher again.
Can we just wait one moment, please, Christopher, is there? Okay, great, thanks. Okay, Christopher, please go ahead.
I think it's not practical to speak in terms of all languages. I repeat, first of all, that you'd be doing a great service to Internet users worldwide if you recognized all official languages in each country, jurisdiction, or region. That would be a great start. Secondly, as I said just earlier, I'm not particularly in favor of reservation. I'm in favor of allowing registration on the basis of an approved registry. The problem behind much of this discussion is the implication that if it's not specifically specified in the application guidebook or in 3166, the string is potentially available for open registration. That is absolutely out of the question. So what we're talking about are the terms and conditions for registration by approved registries in the jurisdiction applicable to the language and string concerned. But as long as there is this implication that if we don't get it into the 3166 or some other list, that it becomes a candidate for a generic TLD, there will be no agreement. We're just walking into a brick wall. I would also footnote, because there's far more expertise than I have in this field in ICANN and in the community, but I think we have, as Annabeth hinted earlier on this afternoon, I think we have not yet addressed the what these strings would look like in non-Latin languages. I have just enough contact with the Chinese language to see that there is scope for problems there, including the CJK group's work. But beyond that, I'm not a linguist, certainly not in the Indian subcontinent context, and somebody somewhere is going to have to review, discuss, and advise on what these strings would look like in the languages and scripts concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. If I could bring us back to this list so that we can at least work through the items so that we can progress through these more clearly. I know that we've got the language issue on the cards to work through, but let's just stick first of all with these two items on the list here. I'm just wanting to make sure that we have any idea of suggestions and way forward with regarding to the 3166 list that we have here for exceptionally reserved names. So let's just do that one at a time. Do we feel that one itself does not or does fit perhaps into the same way forward that we looked at for three character codes and the long and short names referenced. This doesn't talk to any language issue on this one. It's just purely that list. So perhaps if I could just take some comments on that, because I'd like us to work through some of these. I hope that we might be able to group these together, but it's obvious that these have different elements to them which make it not sensible to do all in one go. So if we just take the first one, please.
Martin, this is Emily from staff. You have Desalyn Yahula. You did have Alan, but it looks like his hand's now down. Then you have Yap. And you still have hands up from Javier and Cavus, although I think those might be old hands. So Desalyn and then Yap. Thanks.
Desalyn, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. I'm Desalyn. I want to go back to the previous point in the treatment of country and territory names, I see both of them as labels. That when we are dealing with labels, what matters most is the script instead of language. So the treatment, in my opinion, should only focus on the inclusiveness of all the scripts instead of language. Because
sorry, can I just interrupt, please? Are you referencing this particular item on the first listed here, the short long form name association with a code that has been designated exceptionally reserved? I understand your point on IDNs and that is not contained within here, but as long as you're referring to a comment on this, then please proceed.
Okay. So my comment relates to IDNs, so if it's not relevant, I can.
But please do. We want to capture those in terms of areas that are not represented in the AGB. So that would go on the list to consider as we finish this review of the treatment of 2012 guidebook.
Okay.
Thank you. Yap?
Yes, this is Yap speaking. And I want to comment on the notion of the exceptional reserved names. And I don't know how this ended up in the old guidebook, but there is actually no definitions what is an exceptional reserve name in the standard at all. And the whole idea of reserve names is actually something that is being normally kept inside the 3166. And so this special reference to some internal workings of the Matrix agents is probably something you should not do in a new version of the guidebook. Furthermore, for your information, the whole... I don't know who's doing this at all. I think the echo is gone by now. Yes.
Please go ahead.
Gone by now. Well, there's still some echo, but I'll try to finish my... I was going to say that the whole standard is up to the five-year revision period. And it might be that... the whole notion of reserve name is going to change as well. What I would suggest is that if you're going to do a new guidebook, you might consider taking this whole notion of reserved and exceptional reserve names out of the whole guidebook.
And leave it as a void or...
I mean, it's using undefined terms is not a good idea at all. So just don't mention it. But at least that would be my advice for a revision of the guidebook.
Okay. I think that, thank you for that, yeah. I know Nick's comments as well. So again, we're talking about relatively few in a list, and that it's not particularly easy to say what the short or long form name association with these codes even is. So suggestion there that that would be dropped from the list. So similar to your point, yeah. So does anybody else support that notion or not support that notion? It'd be useful to know now, and we could feed that in.
Well, Martin, this is Christopher again. I would support YAP's notion. I think reading the literature, the ICANN literature on this over the last 2 years, there's been an attempt to cherry pick in ISO 3166. I think ICANN and the community should just accept the international standard as it is, as representing the countries and subdivisions concerned. My main point, however, is which I've made in an email to Jeff and to the leadership group a few weeks ago, and maybe I should repeat it to the list, is that there are many subdivisions of countries which are not included in ISO 3166 at all. There is a strong bias in ISO 3166 for historical and geographical reasons towards islands. I drew the example from the UK where the Isle of Man and the Channel Islands and even Gibraltar and the Malvinas have their own two-letter code, but Scotland, Wales, and the English counties do not. In the United States, the U.S. has a code, but as far as I can see, none of the 51 states have a code in ISO 3166. So there's an enormous bias in 3166 towards a certain category of subdivisions, ignoring other subdivisions which are economically, socially, and demographically as important and sometimes much more important than the subdivisions in 3166. Thank you.
This is Carlos, if I may.
Please go ahead, Carlos.
I second YAP's motion and propose to submit it in written form so it can be discussed in the next meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay, so that helps with the first item on the list. Thank you. So just... Just thinking through your comments there, Christopher, on the different codes that do not exist for certain places, like Scotland, for instance. I mean, sure, what we're saying there is, I don't think it affects that. What we're saying is that there would be other terms and other potential terms that protect a Scotland term, for instance, or they have an objection process to follow through.
No.
But what you're suggesting is that there is a sort of prior right anyway to, and we're assuming that others may even want to apply for these terms, the thousands of different terms.
Well, I don't know who these others are. But my basic point is, as we would say in French, renverser la vapeur. You have insisted, starting at the bottom in 3166 and trying to move up towards eventual assessments for other lists and codes and countries and regions and what have you, and geographical indications that are not in 3166. I have advocated from the beginning that we should start at the top and work out a policy for the generality of geographical terms. 3166 is a very useful, well-codified subset, and we should leave it be because it's an international standard. But it's not helpful in terms of deciding who or how geographical terms in general may be delegated. There are hundreds, if not more, of geographical terms which are not in ISO 3166 at all, and they have to be protected. And we've seen
Please, just for my benefit here. In terms of all of these different elements that you talk about beyond what is already protected, what is it that you're saying needs to be protected? As in, what do the users or registrants need to be protected from? I'm just trying to grasp why there needs to be excessive reservation or a priority from what you're saying towards a body or a local body or authority.
Well, I think it's obvious, but I'll do this in writing. I've written it all up. I'll send it to the list in the next, next 2 days before the next meeting.
Okay.
But basically,
that'll be helpful.
We must protect ICANN and the DNS from any more Amazons, for example. We must ensure that there are no hijacking of country names, as we've experienced it within my lifetime, with quite a few of the ccTLDs. We must ensure that
the ccTLDs, when you say that, though, that's outside of scope again, isn't it? Because that's a CCNSO environment. So, okay. Please do articulate those concerns more clearly in writing, then. I'd appreciate that, because from what you're saying, there's an expansive need from your point of view to either reserve or prevent others from applying for these and just restrict it to perhaps local authorities or some kind of body. So it'd be useful to understand to the extent that you think that protection is needed.
Yes, I think the authorization process is necessary rather than an objection process.
So do we have anybody else on the list, on the queue? Because we're just coming up to close this off. Is there anybody on the list in the queue?
Nope, the queue is clear.
Okay, thanks, Emily. Given the time, I think we'll move to any other business just to make sure that we can cover that off before we close. And we will unfortunately need to continue going through the remainder of the list. I was hoping to make a bit more progress today. Thank you anyway for the input and comments on the particular elements that we covered today. So I'll open the floor to any other business that members wish to raise.
Next meeting, yeah.
Okay, yeah, we'll cover that. Emily, could you remind me of the time and date? It's not too long to go to the next one.
Hi, Martin. This is Emily from staff. The next meeting is on Wednesday, April 18th at 20 UTC.
Thank you very much. Okay, is there any other business people wish to raise? I haven't been able to follow the chat. Does any of the other co-leaders have anything to add that they may have observed through the chat?
And Martin, you have a hand up from Annabeth. This is Emily from staff.
Please go ahead, Annabeth.
Hi, this is Annabeth speaking. I think it's a lot of useful input in the chat. So what we do when we finish this meeting, we try to sort out everything there and put it in the right place. And then the co-chairs have to discuss it and go on to update it before we go to the next meeting. So we didn't get as far as we wanted this time, but the discussions have been interesting. So that's the main thing now. And we'll talk next time. So thank you for chairing the meeting, Martin.
Thanks, Annabeth. So last final call for any other comments. Otherwise, you'll get a few minutes back and we'll carry on the conversation at our next meeting. But do please continue the exchanges via email between now and our next meeting.
Yeah, Martin, it would be very helpful if the staff could just copy-paste the chat into an email to the list, because I have had no opportunity to get onto any aspect of the WebEx.
Absolutely, Christopher. That will be circulated after the call.
Thank you. And I apologize for taking up some of your time in the last part of the call, but I do recall that you had an hour without me before, so you can't blame me for all the last.
And we missed you. Thank you, Christopher.
Thank you very much. And goodbye, everyone.
All right. Bye. Have a good day, everybody. We'll close the call. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.